This is Prince Adam. By the power of Grayskull...
And He-Man, you have the power! And you are listening to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
I'm Cam Clark, and I approve this message.
Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collectors.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands. Because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa. Hunger in the United States. And not having spare hands.
I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. She was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if a favorite toy just happened to be half-naked muscular men? All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 65 of the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti, and I'll tell you what, we are fresh off from MuskieCon this morning, and it's been a great 48 hours, I guess you'd say. It's been an early morning. We had to get up early this morning, come to the shop, listen to Pete brag about himself. He has been nonstop. His head won't fit through the door, and we're going to tell you a little bit about why. But before we get there, I have to introduce the two best co-hosts a host can have. So, with me today, as always, we have Travis Bowles. How you doing, Trav?
Wonderful.
And next to him and across from me is the triumphant king of the world, Pete McCarthy. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing great.
Pete's great.
I'm doing very well.
I'll tell you what. I got to tell the listeners, this has been a difficult podcast to get rolling this morning. Both Pete and Travis's brains are not on the podcast. I'm here trying to do sound checks. I'm trying to get things done. And they're like two little school kids screwing around over there while I'm trying to get work done. And it's made me just a little bit, I'm wound a little tight now. So thanks, guys.
I think we should change the intro.
And cut Steven out of it?
Well, the last issue... Last episode, Travis is just full of changes. You're turning into Pete. What, do you want it to be the Travis show?
Yeah, I think now we should just start it like this. Hey, Steve, Pete, and Trav, we're here. Let's go.
Let's roll.
This sucks.
We could always do the comic book man. I'm Kevin Smith. I'm Walt Flanagan. I'm Brian Johnson. Main Ken. You know, we could do it that way, too. Just announce it.
Well, that shows. I hate to say it, I love Kevin Smith.
I love Kevin Smith,
I'm going to see him live. I got tickets.
Yeah,
oh, sweet. I mean,
yeah, why would you text everybody to see if he wanted to go?
Friends texted me and said, "Hey, Steve, you want to come with us to this?" I'm kind of in there.
You want to know how I know that's
they
a
got
lie?
The tickets.
We're his only friends.
Right. So who is these friends that he's talking about?
His mom was like, "Honey, I found this."
The guy who gave you this.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I know what that is.
You don't know what that is?
I know what that is.
Well, now that I read it, I know what it is. That's right. Your movie that you starred in, but no one gave me that. I don't know what you're talking about.
That happened yesterday at the MuskieCon.
Oh, while I was working and you two were just kind of hanging out, probably.
Yeah, I was eating pizza in the break room. So
thanks for that. Anyways,
I didn't get a chance to say thanks. Thanks for the pizza.
Hey, man, it's the least I could do. I had such an outcry of people that were there helping, and the least I could do was feed you. So
Yeah, it was the least you could do. Anyways. Yeah, so MuskegonCon happened, and I don't know if we've ever explained this to people who don't live around here. We just always assume that our listeners are local. But we, the big city next to us is called Muskegon, and Pete's trying to be clever, so he called his little con he put on MuskegonCon. And the local talent, the news people around here and everything, they seem to say it all wrong every time. They say MuskegonCon or something weird, but, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. Anyways.
It's cheesy.
It's very cheesy.
I was told it was cheesy yesterday.
Yeah. I heard a couple of complaints about your staff shirt, too.
Yeah, I love that.
It was spelled wrong, right? That's what they said?
They did. More than one person felt obligated to let me know that staff was spelled wrong. So let me give you guys a quick lesson. On the back of the staff t-shirts, typically when you refer to staff, whether it be people who are working or a bow staff, a wooden stick like Donatello would carry, it would be spelled S-T-A-F-F. I spelled staff on the back of the staff shirts S-T-A-P-H, like a staff infection, staphylococcus. Here's the deal, asshats. It wasn't spelled wrong. It was a different form of the word. Staff, S-T-A-P-H, was spelled correctly. It just wasn't the staff that you wanted. So if you have a complaint, it's not a spelling error, it's a grammar error. So if you feel obligated to point something like that out, make sure you're using the right part of the English language as your complaint.
This is the lecture you get, folks, when Pete makes jokes that aren't funny.
What I really wanted to do was I wanted to just put a cartoon picture of Donatello's staff on the back.
Oh, that would be good.
And I was like, nobody will get it.
They'll be like, stick? Yeah, why is there a stick?
I need one of those stick people. Oh, I get it. Stick people. Like they're drawn like sticks. So,
you know what I thought was interesting was, did you notice how those green shirts really showed off Pete's nipples?
Oh, man.
I couldn't stop staring at him.
Every live video I saw, it was like Pete's nipples were like just like boom.
Why were they wet? Like he was lactating. Did you notice that?
I get milky when I'm nervous. I kept telling everybody, you know, I kept out in the hallway. It was nice and cool, and I kept stepping outside just to get a little bit of fresh air, because it was warm in the vendor hall. And everybody's like, "Oh man, it's cold. Your nipples." And I'm like, "Well, do you want nipples or pit stains? Because you're gonna get one or the other, you know."
Which would you prefer?
Yeah, I'm either gonna be sweating or I'm gonna be nipping. So
nice.
I'll take nipples any day.
Most people would.
So MuskegonCon happened.
It happened.
We are sitting here with an artist from it, a vendor from it, the bitch from it.
No, that's not Pete.
That's intern Zach.
Intern Zach.
And the promoter, Pete McCarthy. And this is the interesting part. We want to talk to Pete about the day after. We want to see, man, how do you feel? Did you have a good time?
And for the listeners, if you don't want to listen to this segment, just fast forward about 3 hours and we'll pick up the regular show.
How'd you feel, Peter? Good, thanks, UPS guy. Let's just keep rolling, man. I felt good. I still feel good. I feel great. I'm excited with how things went. I feel like I learned a ton. And yesterday I got a chance to just do what I could to take care of vendors and check in. And I didn't have really any fires to put out. I didn't have anything really go wrong. A couple of very minuscule minor that I can barely even call issues that I had to handle. I hung out with everybody all day. I got to be on the mic doing some announcements. I like that kind of thing. I got to do the interaction. I got to see people. I feel like I was in like my element yesterday. Like that was my, like, if you want to see Pete McCarthy in his natural habitat, I felt good. I had about 10:30, I got this like perma grin on my face and it stayed the entire event. I could not be happier.
Can you do the rest of the show in that accent, please?
Not even, it wasn't even good to begin with.
I know, that's why so. I want to hear it. I want to hear you laugh at it.
Well, you know damn well that everything I try to do ends up sounding like Bill Clinton. Like every time I try, I end up sounding like Bill Clinton.
So. No, I will say that watching you, Pete, I was so happy for you because the show was a success. And within an hour of the show opening, I totally agree. It was obvious. Now, you know, there's some apprehension going in.
Yes.
You know, you have no idea how many people are going to show up. You have no clue. And I had already kind of told myself, hey, if I make $100 profit today, I made $100 to hang out with my buddies and Zach. And so I'm going to be – I would be happy with that. Now, I did much better than that, so, you know, I'm very happy. But I was really happy for you because as people really started to come in – and it was interesting. I mean, there was a small line at 10, but not,
nope.
I mean, 20 people maybe.
And I, you know, and honestly, the way they were milling about, I won't even call it a line.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like constructed like single file. There was just some people kind of in the hallway.
Yep.
And prior to that, my daughter Chloe was running the ticket booth, the entrance booth. She kept going, Dad, people are coming and buying wristbands and then leaving, like, because they're going to come back later. They just want to be able to get in without having to wait in line. And I thought,
that's interesting.
Holy cow. You know,
yeah, those people are smart.
Yeah.
That is really smart. So I was super happy for you. And I looked at that show and saw, I mean, no negative as a vendor. I mean, there was nothing I could look at and say, man, this could have been done better at the show. There was nothing.
Not really, no.
And as a obviously two different standpoints, and I kind of asked this to Travis off the air, but just to kind of, it's easy to say, yeah, we'll be back next year because you guys supporting me. You guys did this to support me. You did it because it was local. There was a lot of reasons that you did it. But realistically, this was a show that if it were any other person running it, you guys would be back next year. You guys both did well enough to where you'd come out for a second year.
Without a doubt.
I did. Okay. I would.
Okay.
I did well.
How did you do, Steve?
Best show I've had.
In a wide variety of different prints. I mean, yeah. From Deadpool right down to Disney and Trolls.
I did sell, you know, my usual stuff, but yep. The hands-down bestseller, Trolls. Got to thank the good-looking guy. I know his name.
Eric Rebelli.
Eric Rebelli. Got to thank that good-looking son of a bitch.
I'm so mad. We wanted to get a drink Friday night, and I missed out because, God, he is good-looking. Can you imagine what it would have been like walking around the bar with that guy on my arm? Holy shit. We would have been killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While our wives were upstairs in the hotel taking care of kids. So.
Yep. So I got to thank Eric. I did a Trolls print at his request for his daughter, and I sold the shit out of him yesterday. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't walk out of there like, I'm buying a new Hot Toys Hulkbuster. No.
I'm buying a new beret.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I mean, so much of this, when you're an artist and you're putting your skills or the best you can do down on a piece of paper and you put it up there behind you for everybody to see, to like or not like. When you get a string of shows that you don't do well at, it's hard to not feel that it's because you're not any good.
Right.
You know? And that it's not that I didn't make any money. It's mm-hmm. not that, you know, I walked out, oh, I wanted to make $300 and I didn't. It's not that. You get down on yourself. And I think I needed to have a good show like that to help fuel me keeping trying to do this thing.
Well,
so.
Thank God Pete invented a show for you.
I am so happy to hear you say that because I know the discouragement and I've relayed it to comedy, you know, before in talking with you of that's me getting on stage and telling a joke that I worked really hard on and not having anybody laugh, you know? So to know that you had a good show, that's absolutely awesome. And to know that it wasn't just friends and family that were local came in and supported you. You had a wide variety of customers and you had a lot of people at the booth. Even if they didn't buy, they were looking, they were checking stuff out. They were complimenting you. Oh, I really like that one. Now, maybe they didn't like it enough or maybe they didn't have the money or whatever. But the fact that people, nobody had to stop and say anything to you. The fact that they did, I think is really neat.
Yeah. Not only that, you know, part of the thing is going into it, you think maybe the competition won't be such an issue where maybe right. that there was three
there
artists
was
there that were better
there.
Than Steve.
I mean, the variety of artists that were there, I could not be happier with.
Oh, yeah.
You got Stephen Bisciotti, cartoony style, bright colors, pretty well-known characters kind of across the geek world. Next one down, Roger Scholes. Okay, very well-known characters, but for different reasons. Swamp Thing, Dracula, very horror-oriented, you know?
Niche.
And great stuff, great presentation. Next to that, Andy Budnick. Like neither of you, black and white, pens and pencils, very gritty, dark and dirty comic book style.
To me, he is a comic book artist.
He's a comic book artist, and yep. I had a great conversation with him. I had a great conversation with Roger Schultz. I mean, great guys. You know, you move one down the line. You got Jeremy DeWitt, local Muskegon guy, his first ever con, feeling like you, Steve, a few shows ago. Oh, I'm putting myself out there. Are people going to like me? Sold out of prints. Had ones where he just, hey, guys, I can take an order on this. I don't have any more to give you, you know, but very much like you. Very cartoony, but different. Had some Ghostbusters stuff. Had some more Ninja Turtles stuff.
He takes cool stuff and puts a twist on it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it might be he had a Peanuts one, and I can't remember what the twist was.
They were super. He made them into the Avengers.
Yeah. Okay. But they were drawn like the Peanuts style.
Yes.
And
yep.
He had a He-Man busting through a brick wall, drawn like the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, it's cool. You know, very much his style is similar to mine.
Right.
But he puts that cool kind of twist on it.
Right. You know, and then you move down the line, and you had Brian Cody, who was more actually in a published form of a book, his art. You know, it wasn't just prints. It was actually like there was some writing in there to go along with it. Then you move down to Brian Snuffer, and you're like, this guy, it's hand-painted on a piece of wood. I talked with Steven, and Steven pointed out to me, I said, you know, his prints are a little bit more expensive because they're paint on wood. And he goes, Pete, you're buying originals. Well, what do you mean? He said, I get them made, you know, they're copies, they're prints. Each one of those things that he sells is an original painting. And
they were beautiful.
I mean, just incredible, you know? And then on the very end, you had a writer, Brian Donahue. You know, so he had some prints done of his characters by another artist, but they were characters from that he had created and that he had written these books about. And then on the very end, you had Pink Tasia Latinyavana Kremia Nasamana, who is a writer and an artist, a very, very different style. It was more manga-y to me, but she's creating a community like of this stuff, and it was different than your guys' art, but there was people that were enjoying that too. So you got one artist line, and there was something for everybody in there, and I just thought it was really neat, you know. So I was super excited with the variety that we had. Did I miss anybody?
No.
Okay,
I hope not.
Scott Rosema.
Oh, that he's on the other line. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay. So, you're going to go through the whole show?
No, we cannot go through the whole show.
I'm not going through the whole show. But the thing, honestly, I would say the biggest in dealing with Scott Rosema, being the most well-known artist at the show, local Muskegon, published Marvel, you know, been doing this a lot of years. He makes a living as an artist, which is something a lot of people at those shows would love to do, would aspire to do. The biggest snafu that I think I had for the whole show was after his wife and her friend set up the booth, it collapsed. And it shattered to the ground, and we picked it all up, and grabbed another table. We laid it out flat. We made sure there was no prints or anything damaged. We laid it out as nicely as we could. I immediately called him at home and said, I'm sorry, your stuff fell over. He was very cool about it. They came in the next morning and put it back up. And we're very grateful for the communication of me getting hold of him right away. But I mean, that was the biggest problem I had, but out of all those artists, I mean, absolutely awesome. Yeah. So,
yeah, it was sweet. It was you know, from the standpoint of variety, it was wonderful. The best part of this show, and without a doubt, is I could say that there was how many people there, Peter? How many people attended?
Attendance wise, I can safely say that we were over 1,200. So, give or take a few here and there, and then we had total in that hall, throughout the day, we had 1,500 people in there. Because, you know, the vendors count, the staff counts. A lot of the vendors, a lot of the staff bought things as well. They were customers as well as vendors. So what a great day. I mean, just top to bottom, what a great day.
It was. I talked to Travis, I think I called him Friday, and I was talking to him about it, and he was like, he said to me at one point in the conversation, he goes, you know, you sound optimistic about it, about this event. And then that originally it triggered in my brain. I'm like, you know what? I got to pull it back because I don't want to be so bummed if this doesn't come out. So I definitely took a step back and I started putting myself into downer mode. All day Friday, and as I got up, I just kept saying to my wife, I'm not selling any prints, and this whole thing is going to be five people there, and it's going to, you know. And then you walk into the vendor hall, and you look around before people get there, before the you know, attendees get there, and it's just all the vendors. You look around, and you're like, this is a freaking nice con. The vendors here are cool. Everything's solid. The artists are solid. Everything's great. It's going to be a shame that this thing's going to freaking fail. That's, you know, just what I was doing to myself. And then... We got the first hour, those aisles were pretty full. Yeah. They were pretty packed. And I'm like looking at it, and I think Middle Camp or somebody's up and says, look, there's people here. And I'm like, yeah, but after the hour, this is going to fall right off. And 4 hours later, it hadn't fallen off. Fallen off. Right. I can't, you know.
We knew what you meant.
I have no command of the English language. So, but and at that point, it was like, Pete did it. We did it. This Muskegon did it. Muskegon come out and supported this thing.
And that's the thing right there.
And that was, you know, that was it.
I think that is the key. Pete did it because Pete put the product out there, got the vendors there. But I really think Muskegon showing up and supporting this, I mean, that's the huge win.
And that's, you know, like when I was talking with Andy O'Reilly and talking on the podcast with the Geekly Gab guys and talking with a couple of interviews that I did, I joked about the whole, you know, if you build it, nerds will come. And I put some work into it, and this was kind of like my baby. But at the end of the day, I had nothing without the vendors. I had nothing without the people that showed up. And at the end of the day, I facilitated a room with people in it, and Muskegon is who sold that show. These people, man, the social media presence. What, Hank Hawkins, I met him yesterday. Only know him from Facebook. I met him in person yesterday. Hey, it's my weekly MuskegonCon post. Make sure you guys come out. That kind of stuff. The people, there was more than one person. There was at least four people that people in my circle consider what elderly that came in knowing they weren't going to buy anything, but you know, I was out and about and I wanted to support something local here in Muskegon. You know, how cool is that? I mean, I was overwhelmed by the amount of come out and support local and the people that did. And then the people that actually found something that they liked and went, wait a minute, this isn't just a bunch of guys reading comic books. This isn't just a bunch of guys playing with dolls. There was much more to MuskegonCon than just that. I mean, the foundation was built on comic books and toys, but there was such a wide variety. I mean, I could not be happier with the amount of different vendors that were there. And there was literally something for everybody. You know, a family of four could come out, mom and dad and a couple of kids, and everybody could find something that they found interesting. You know, and I just loved it.
And that's where you had an advantage. I mean, with Travis being a vendor for quite a few years now, attending shows, the contacts he's made, which through him you make and I make.
Yep.
Then this podcast has also brought a lot of people together. You had the cream of the crop of vendors.
The network was unbelievable. You know, and if you look kind of how that was built, look at your guys' end of the room. That was all of our peeps, man.
It was.
You know what I mean? The only reason Gary wasn't closer was because he wanted the four booths, and so he was on the other end, you know, opposite Travis. But yeah, you know, you, Steven, and then Travis, and then Mike Brandis, and then Gavin, and Kyle and Jason, and then other friends of mine that aren't necessarily in the nerd circle were right there. I mean, that whole corner was kind of just people that we're going to go sell at this show because we like Pete. You know, Mike Brandis from MB Custom Toys does one show a year. He's busy enough with just online sales and work for commission work for people. He doesn't need to do two shows. He did a second show because he said, I like you, Pete, and I want to support what you're doing. And then came out, ended up doubling his booth size, had this beautiful new drape to set his booth up for that he unveiled for the first time, had good sales, and immediately was like, I want this booth next year. I'm already signed up. And Gavin, the same way. Gavin kept trying to throw money at me. I don't have a date for next year, guys. We don't care. We're going to be here. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
It was awesome.
You know?
I want to read some reviews.
Okay.
And this is right on MesquiteCon's page. What
The ones I haven't deleted yet.
What I will tell you is...
a couple of people called him fat.
I will not be reading any of the five stars, which is the majority. Pete's head is big enough already. I don't think we need to read a bunch of five stars.
As friends of Pete, it's time to kick him.
Yeah, we gotta
right now.
Yeah, and let's be honest, people that listen to this podcast, they want to hear the funny stuff. So,
right.
So let's talk about some 4-star reviews. Now, I'll be honest, there's not a lot. There's like seven.
Seven, and there's 63 5-star reviews.
Yes. So not that Pete's been paying attention, but
realistically, too, you know, the minority of the people can get somebody like Trump elected. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
So I want to read some of the 4-stars because that'll be more entertaining. And the 4-star people, obviously, they are going to have some suggestions for improvement, probably. All right. So Joe Teague, friend of the show, friend of ours, he gave you a 4-star, and he said, awesome first showing. If you didn't, go check it out. If you didn't, go check it out in 2018.
Gets a 4-star out of 5 for grammar, because there should have been a comma there. Joe.
Definitely missing a comma.
So, but thank you, Joe, for coming out and supporting. He was there right at the beginning shopping. Also did some toy delivery stuff, some patch delivery stuff for his company Retro Rags. So it was nice to see him.
Eric Huey gave you a 4-star, and he said, it was a good start. It needs more activities, panels, to make it feel less like a geeky vendor event and more like a convention. I hope to see this grow over the next few years and become the amazing geek event I envisioned would have eventually come to Muskegon. Here's hoping that 5 to 10 years down the line, the Frauenthal will be packed with events, artists from all over, and thousands of cosplayers.
The Frauenthal, is that a venue? Is that a possible?
It is a venue. I don't believe that it's big enough.
I mean, I guess that's a conversation off the air, but I just it sparked a spark in my brain because I hadn't even thought of the Frauenthal. But anyways, go ahead.
Okay. Pete, what do you think? How do you feel about it being a geeky vendor event?
Well, I think it's important to out of the gate kind of define convention. You're saying convention as in order for it to be a convention, it needs to be a standard Comic-Con as you view it. A convention by definition is a gathering. And I think that MesquiteCon to the fullest extent meets the definition of convention. Because we were there, we were gathered. The way you look and you say more like a convention, you want panels and you want artists and you want media guests and those things, that doesn't make it a convention. It was a great convention without those things. What you wanted was something different than what I had envisioned. I would love for it to grow into that. I sincerely hope it doesn't take 5 to 10 years to get there. With the limited resources that I had on the fiduciary side, I think that we can get there. But it feeling like a geeky vendor convention was exactly what I wanted, was a geeky vendor convention. I wanted vendors there. I wanted people that could sell their goods to people that were looking for them. People could make some money. People could have a good time, could enjoy each other's company. So we differ in opinion on what our definitions are. My event was successful for what I had envisioned, and I would love to add some of the things that you would like to see in the future.
You know, and I think panels would be easy to pull off.
Panels would be easy to pull off. Yep. And the other thing was, you know, I had people coming to me wanting to throw money at this, but I needed to have a convention first. I couldn't go out and say, will you sponsor this money to have Stephen Amell from Arrow to sign autographs? How many people do you expect to be there, Pete? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Now that I have a little bit of traction, I have people coming to me wanting to sponsor, wanting to throw money our way to help facilitate some of those things. But I needed to do it this way first. And I could not be happier with how this year went.
Yeah, without a doubt. Megan said, my entire family had fun. The only thing missing was food. And we were able to find that somewhere else without any trouble. Perhaps next year they can have a schedule of events that they could pass out so people, so that out to people so that people don't miss anything that captures our interest. Great event. Let's do it again.
That is the epitome of what I want from people.
Constructive criticism.
Yes, that's perfect. I'm so glad that they had a good time. The food was an issue because I could not have anything from the outside, and they don't do a necessary vendor cook to order. I would have had to have bought 500 cheeseburgers, and they would have had them prepared, and then we would have sold them. I couldn't do that fiscally responsibly, you know. Unbeknownst to me, the restaurant wasn't open during the day. I didn't ask that question. I assumed, because I knew they served breakfast and they served dinner, that they would serve from noon to five, and they're actually closed during that time. So thank you so much for that comment, because you're absolutely right. The schedule of events, duh. Why was that not posted? Why was that not readily available? And that's on the notes for next year. Those are easy things that we can do to help make what you thought was a great event even better. So thank you for that kind of feedback.
Nikki said it was a lot of fun. So great to see it so busy. Next year, bigger.
I'm getting a lot of that. Even a lot of the five stars were, hope it's bigger next year. Hope it's bigger next year.
Brandon said, excited to go next year. I hope they can get more guests. Maybe make it multi-day event.
That's another thing that's been talked about quite a bit. So,
Alex Torres gave you 4 stars.
Alex Torres, come on, brother.
Yep.
And no explanation.
No explanations. And that's it for the 4-star reviews. That means everyone else that rated this thing, unless Pete deleted their post.
Which I did not delete. I did delete a post, but it was two girls fighting about a hot tub in the hotel. Completely not
to
do with anything
with
Mesquite Con.
I'd like to see two girls fighting in a hot tub.
Not these two.
Mm. So, I'd love to see that. Maybe I have a different opinion on that. So Mesquite Con was wonderful. Pete really knocked it out of the park. You got anything else you guys want to comment about it?
I don't know what to say. I mean, I think it needs. Pete definitely needs to next year find a way to offer something more so that way, you know, you get the return. You know, but the biggest thing is you don't want to grow too fast. You don't want to outrun your headlights. You know, you don't want to do that. And right. I know that's the knee-jerk reaction of everybody is, you know, let's do this thing 3-day events and let's get in freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's if you want this thing to die, that's what you do.
Crawl before you can walk, man.
Slowly build this thing and you know, try to give more next year. Yeah. But. And so the possibilities, I think, are endless. I think this thing can grow. It's going to be fantastic, and it's just I'm glad I was there for the ground floor.
I think you're going to have a lot of people offering you advice, Peter, which will be interesting.
And advice is a funny thing, and I appreciate everybody's outlook on things. The problem is, if you are having trouble with your wife and everybody's giving you the advice of divorcing her, but that's not what you want to do at all, that advice is useless. So I take it all with a grain of salt, and everybody's opinions matter. But realistically, I know what I set out to do, and I feel very confident that I did exactly what I wanted to. There is some fine tuning for sure, and there is some polish that this event needs to continue to be successful. Everybody wanted to know where and when and bigger, and I can't answer any of those questions right now. I can tell you that I know that we are going to accept cards at the registration table this year or next year. I thought, oh well, $5, nobody's going to use their card. Well, people coming in 4 or 5 in a group. Well, 20, 25 bucks, people would want to, you know, they didn't want to spend any cash at the door because they were saving their cash for the vendors. So that's going to be an option. Communication out of the gate. I cannot communicate with people through 2 different emails and 2 different Facebook pages. I have to better get everybody into the corral, everybody to the same form of communication so things didn't get missed. And luckily they didn't. But that's another small thing. Trying to figure out an option for food is a big one for me. I'm literally the guy that does the food reviews at Comic-Cons, and I have a Comic-Con with no food, you know. So Yeah, I appreciate anything. I would appreciate from if you've got something to say, and if it's overly negative, send me a message. If there's something that upset you, let me know. I mean, publicly, is it something that needs to be discussed publicly? Then post it publicly. But if it doesn't, then just send me a message and we can work on it.
Right.
But by and large, I think everybody had a good time, and even the 4-star ratings, there wasn't anything in there. Was nobody that didn't have a good time.
No,
you know,
they're just dicks like Steve.
Right. Well, nobody. There's always room for improvement.
I give it a 5-star.
Right. Well, Steve's toy desk did. I don't know about Stephen Bisciotti. So, I look forward to it for next year. But I'm keeping my wits about me, and I'm not going to push too fast too soon. And I want this to be organic in nature, and I want it to grow. I'm going to sit down with a committee of trusted people, and we're going to have serious conversations with pens and papers and really look at some things and go from there. So I'm excited for what the future could bring. I will tell you that we talk about the apprehension, like Steve mentioned, and the fear going into it, and everybody fears that the event is going to be a failure because people don't show up. The event could have been a failure because too many people showed up, and you can't get to booths and buy, and people don't have a good time because they can't get around. That was a fear of mine too. What if this thing explodes? And you know, we've seen that before where, man, we would have sold a ton more if somebody could have been able to get into our booth, but because it was shoulder to shoulder, I thought this was just a really good mix. It was a good steady flow. It was good traffic. There was good aisleways. There was one area that it narrowed a little bit in that back corner, mm-hmm. Which I know how to fix for next year. But all in all, I give myself a 4 out of 5. So,
yeah, without a doubt.
So, I have to say, thank you to intern Zach. Dude was my co-pilot through this whole thing. He spent 2 days down there with me. And whether it was, dude, I need you to open this door. Hey, I need you to grab this table. Hey, I need you to shake it because I just pissed. He did whatever I needed him to do without question, and he did it correctly. So thank you, Zach, for that. You're such a huge asset to me. All of the staff that came out, family, you know, Adam and Bethany, my brother Dylan, another one of my friends and employees, Cody, Ashley Heidelberg, the previous Cloud9 Vapor manager, Tim Parker, Joe Crazy Bill, Courtney Bisciotti. I'm going to miss people and I apologize, but I was overwhelmed with the amount of people that were there to help my daughter, both of my daughters and her friend, my son running around and stabbing everybody with his cosplay knives. It was just a fun day. So, watch the Facebook page. By May 1st, we will have an announcement for the date for 2018 is my goal. And we start the process over. So, vendors, if you guys were there vending, loyalty will always reign supreme. Every one of you will be invited back. You'll get first right of refusal if the layout's the same, first right of refusal on the same booth, because you guys took a chance on me, and I cannot be more grateful for that. So, realistically, I think a lot of people are going to be back, which excites me. I got to figure out a place for new people because I want to bring some new blood in as well. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everybody. And most importantly, thank you to Muskegon for coming out and supporting. And whether it was you just paid the $5 to get in, whether you just bought a soda, whether you bought, you know, a $600 art print or a $50 toy or whatever, you guys did it. And again, I can't be more grateful for it. So.
Awesome.
Sweet. Perfect.
So last week, moving on, we had a little bit of a conversation here about whether or not the pre-show banter should stay or go. Travis, you want to shed some light on what the reaction to this was?
All right. So, Steve threw up a post on our Facebook page. The post got a lot of interaction, a ton, which we love. That's a lot of fun for us, yes. And pretty much it said, hey, Travis thinks we should get rid of it. Pete and I disagree. What do you guys think? Don't make Travis right. So we got a ton of comments. Dustin Roberts jumped in, said the opening talk is fine, but he mentioned that we need to fix our levels.
What levels?
Which that went back and forth a little bit, and that, I mean, we agree with that. We need to fix some things.
We spent time today trying. So.
Yeah, right. We'll see how that goes.
Let us know if we're doing better if you listen to this show. Right. Because
and we're also researching equipment. We're looking at upgrading some things. And
Things will get better. So. Things will get better. We will definitely work on that. But.
I did not notice any packages here at the shop.
Yeah, because Pete threw it out there. Yeah,
I did. I put it out there if you guys were interested. So,
Kyle Moore said, if it ain't broke. And I said, F you, Kyle.
And buy more birds.
You're broke, and so are these two. Eric Bertram said, I say keep it the same. And he shared this really awesome picture. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it's a guy sitting there eating eating his bowl of cereal with a poster or a picture of three cute girls who are also eating something. And it says, how it feels to listen to podcasts. Like he's right here in the room with us.
Yeah, alluding to being part of the team, and we love that.
Yeah, and it is freaking great.
It's so funny.
Joe Ryan agreed and said, man, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm right there with you guys. Wayne Ferrer, I think you guys should be nicer to each other like our group is. Otherwise, keep it the same. Wayne, we know that was completely sarcastic. Eric Brink, leave it the same. Justice Curry, shorten it up. Start a timer. 3 minutes each. It is Tangent City.
Yeah, from the king of the rambling Facebook Live unboxing and auction.
Justin, I like your post. I think I might agree with that. Joe Crazy Bill, I like it the way it is. It's a good mix. Hezbollah Iraq said, you guys should go more in depth. She wants more.
She wants more.
Big surprise.
And that was despite Justin, I'm sure.
Big surprise. She wants to be inside us. Sheree Larangle said, leave it. Robert Yeoman said, in all honesty, I enjoy it. It adds more of a personal feel. On the flip side, keep it short and sweet. Yeah, not bad. Anthony Housel, I don't know how you say it, Anthony. I'm sorry. He said exactly what Robert said. Joe Teague jumped in and said, at this point, hold on, this is a long one. At this point, you need to keep it. However, I would suggest you try to keep it more organic. The show's name has My Wife is Going to Kill Me in the title, so talking about your wife and touching the kids is a natural fit. However... Okay, and I'm going to say there's a lot of conflicting things here. However, as I've shared in the past, most of the crew and listeners know you or have met you. Which, Joe, I totally get what you're saying there, but the reality of it is we have a lot of listeners that are not even in Michigan.
Yeah, I would say that the majority of people that know us is probably actually quite small.
Yeah, that actually listen. Because if you know us, why the hell would you listen to us talk? I mean, let's be honest here. As your audience continues to grow, that disconnect can widen between you and your listener. I know you guys, I know your wives, and I know the kids. So for me, I think many that do not listen to the podcast or that do listen to the podcast is enjoyable, and we can totally relate. So ultimately, Travis, thinking big picture, is right, kind of. I don't know how to respond to that. Besides, he said I'm right, so in you guys' face.
It's a ton of words saying very little.
In both your faces, okay?
You're going to hang on that comment.
Well, this is the longest one. I mean,
you're going to hang on that one to say that you're right.
You guys don't agree?
He's riding the fence, and he's absolutely right.
That's why he's with me. We're on the same side here. Me and Joe are on the fence together. Right. Yeah.
So, but again, you totally there's pros and cons to it, and he was just pointing out both sides of the argument, you know?
So what I will
say ultimately, what he says in that is, you've come this far doing it. You can't change now. So after that, anything that was positive for you, Travis, ignore because it doesn't matter.
Right, I agree.
Because he already sided with Steven.
Yeah, I agree. We should change it. So,
So how you been, Steven?
Good, I've been good.
I will say the fans have spoken, and you two are right. And I will sit here and struggle to listen through the 5 minutes.
I agree. The fans did say, as right as me and Pete are, we should keep it short and try to move, give the people a little tidbit of what's going on if you got something to say, and move on.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll try to do, but we have Pete, so that means our first hour of the show is going to be about Pete.
Yeah, because I'm notorious for telling long stories about laying in my cubby reading comics on my iPad. So,
You guys both have your interesting quirks, and that's what makes this show fun.
The hardest part too is, you know, when we sit and we talk about our families, you know, Steven loves his family, I love my family, Travis hates their guts. So he doesn't have much to say because he doesn't even want to remember that they exist. So
what family?
Exactly.
What family? So. All right, so what are we at? How are we at time-wise here?
45 minutes.
45 minutes in, and holy shit, we're going to talk about what?
Thanks, UPS guy!
Yeah. This is going to be fun.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Trav?
I'll go first.
He's got his stuff sitting right there. Might as well go.
Good. And it's Star Wars shit, so I'm going to go to the bathroom.
You know, actually, give me just a second. I'm going to compose myself here.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I had a pretty fun haul yesterday. MuskieCon was good to me. I bought a couple things from a couple vendors, so I was pretty excited about it. The first thing I bought from
Are we gonna talk about how great MuskieCon was? Have we done that yet?
Yeah, we did. We mentioned it. The first one, probably one of the best vendors there. I was able to pick up this Ultimate. I'm sorry, not Ultimate. It's a Marvel Select Agent Venom, and there's two versions of this. There's your Marvel Legends version, and then there's also the Select version. I love the Select version because of detail. The detail on this bad boy is amazing. I think he's real fun. Obviously, articulation is a bit of an issue, but he comes with a couple guns, which, oh, man. Oh, perfect. There you go, Peter.
The Marvel Legend Agent Venom for a direct comparison.
You want to just set him right there on the table, maybe?
What Travis is doing now is trying to put some guns in his hand.
Boom. Got his guns. As you look at these, I mean, there is quite a height difference. And that's one of the complaints from people that Marvel Select fans, Marvel Legends fans, they don't work together. People wish they did, but they don't.
I think Select was trying to do their own thing.
Unfortunately,
there's not a big enough variety to just collect the Selects, because there's a ton of characters you can't get your hands on, but you can get them in Legend form.
I think, too, there is a issue with they actually can't make them the same scale, because then Hasbro would be mad.
Yeah, competition. Yes. That makes perfect sense, too.
But I love this figure. The detail on him is cool. I'm going to have a Spider-Man shelf set up soon, and I think if I put him in there in the right pose and everything, scale-wise, it won't be that bad.
No tendrils, right?
No tendrils.
Which is kind of, it's a bummer?
It's a bummer, and that's what I love about that one, you know, that he actually has them. Now, we know people that could make them, so I wouldn't say that kills me or anything like that. I mean, it's just the way it is, so whatever. Moving on from that, I'd like to say thank you. Like I said, one of the best booths there. My wife is going to kill me. It was the name of the booth. So next,
it's his own thing. He got it for himself, and
yeah,
you bought it from.
He didn't get that at MuskieCon.
Oh,
just got it.
Okay.
So real quick, John Gallimore said, "Hey dudes, hope you guys had a great convention." And then Chris Middlecamp said, "Morning fellows, are we still con drunk?"
Oh, I am. I'm high. I got high. I didn't get drunk. I was ripped. And I'm still there.
And the short story is, John, we did have a great convention. So.
Great convention. Awesome. Yes. Yes.
Better if you were there, though. So
wouldn't that have been sweet?
That would have been sweet.
Next, I picked up this from Eric Rebelli. This is the San Diego Comic-Con Hasbro Black Series Jabba the Hutt. Comes with Salacious Crumb. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Salacious Crumb. He's got his little frog hookah thing here. I love this Jabba. I never opened a Jabba of the Black Series. I know, I know. It's sad. I know. I never opened one. The detail on this guy is awesome.
It's awesome.
It's so cool. Chris Middlecamp said he is going to make me the throne. So I'm pretty excited about that, because you know him, man. He will absolutely kill it.
Oh, so talented.
Yeah. So this is a sweet set. Eric Rebelli was selling. He had, I don't know if you guys got a chance to go over his booth. He had a ton of loose Black Series Star Wars stuff. He bought a huge lot, got a great price on it. He had $75 on this. We worked out a little bit better price, which I was pretty happy to take it home. The funny thing is, a year ago at this time, I sold the boxed one.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
I remember it.
Yep. So
big-ass box, too.
Yeah, yeah, and cool box. It's a cool little display thing. But when I saw one loose, I mean, I want one loose, and I couldn't open that other one for some reason, some of the sickness, I don't know, whatever. But now I got one, so it'll sit on a shelf. And
well, that's one I can agree, I can get on board with not opening. That box and that presentation is just so good.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to rip into that.
Yes.
But what Chris is going to do, it's going to be better.
Oh, yeah. Chris will do better. He will do. And I'm excited about that, so that'll be sweet. So I got those two bad boys, which, I mean, that's it. Hits a couple of my faves right there, Star Wars and then Marvel. Then I also was able to pick up from Jeremy DeWitt, who he had posted this on Craigslist first, and I tried to contact him there, and it never went through for some reason. But then I was able to get with him on Michigan Toy Traders, and he had this large collection of G.I. Joes. And these are modern. This is from Rise of Cobra. So it's not, you know, it's not vintage. So vintage people that are vintage snobs, not your thing.
Right.
But man, listen, Snake Eyes and a.
That's a cool figure.
This figure is so awesome.
I thought that the first glance, I thought it was Snow Job. I didn't realize they ever did Snake Eyes like that.
And totally understandable. If you see it from the back, that's kind of what you're going to think. But it's Snake Eyes in. You know, winter gear.
Yeah.
And, man, that is so awesome to me. I mean, that's what I loved about Rise of Cobra. The movie was bunk as shit, but...
Is that the one where Channing Tatum dies?
No.
No, it's the one prior.
Okay. I can't say I've ever seen that one. I actually enjoyed the one where Channing Tatum dies.
That movie was not bad. It just didn't feel like J. Joe to me. And this is a good example of how weird that movie was.
What the hell?
This is... Do you know who this is?
Yeah, Pete, can you tell us what character from G.I. Joe that is?
It's Destro.
I get why you went that way.
Yeah.
I saw the Cobra logo and a half a silver face, and I just guessed. Yep. So
that's Cobra Commander.
That's ridiculous.
Played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
So a great actor.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would he even sign on for that?
It was right before he kind of popped. Plus, I mean, Channing Tatum
kind of popped. He was a big deal on Third Rock from the Sun back with John Lithgow.
Oh, I did get one kind of almost vintage snuck in here. Now that's your Cobra Commander.
That's a Cobra Commander.
Yep. So we got Neo Vipers. These are like almost the throwaway figures. A Storm Shadow. Here's your movie Duke, which you can't really see because he's got a helmet. This is actually a pretty good Baroness figure. I don't think it's the Baroness for me, but actually that figure is pretty cool. Some of the accelerator suits.
Oh, those were great.
Yeah, horrible. Hey, I got this idea. I want to put an Iron Man suit in a G.I. Joe universe.
Yeah,
let's do that.
These all have like shootable weapons.
Yeah,
that kind of shit.
And that's the other thing, you know, when you start talking to vintage Joe fans and they started doing that stuff, that's what drove vintage Joe fans away from Joe.
Right.
Except Gary Rickleman.
Well, except for the Rickleman.
Drew him right in.
The Tickle Man loved that. Right. But some of this stuff, like, this is a figure I really like. You know, I mean, that's cool.
That's very, what is it?
I think he was, I can't remember, it's Flash. It's Flash.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, he was a green shirt.
Okay.
Well,
this is very Charbroil Barbecue to me.
And that's
like I would have this figure kind of because of the firefighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just kind of neat looking. I like it.
Yep. I kind of thought it was cool too. This is one of my favorite figures from the line. Heavy Duty.
Oh, wasn't Heavy Duty played by one of the Wayans brothers?
No, that was Ripcord.
That was Ripcord.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, nothing screams Irish Irish redhead.
Irish parajump.
Yeah.
So this was the Wayans brother.
Paratrooper.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And he was jacked in this movie. Don't get me wrong.
He was still a Wayans brother.
And they were really kind of banging on that door of international hero because everybody had an accent and it seemed like everybody was from... That guy right there had like a thick English accent, if I remember right. Scarlett was hot, though.
The actress who played Scarlett is hot. She was also in Conan, the remake of Conan. That was, you know, she was beautiful. That Scarlett figure, not so much.
Oh, that face is not great.
But I will tell you what, this is the whole reason I bought the lot right here. Kamakura. And this was probably one of the hardest figures to find from this series. And he's just a little ninja. And when I say little, he little. Something about they put these really short little legs on him. He is just this little dude. But he is the only figure that I could think of from that whole line that I never got. He runs about $25.
Cool, kind of a cool Wolverine claw thing.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of version 2 Storm Shadow.
Yep.
Had a claw thing like that, sort of similar.
And I, like I said, so for me to get a lot like this, that's what it's all about. You find a lot like this where you see that one figure that you really wanted that you would have paid $20 for probably anyway.
So the guy who's getting out of 3 3/4, G.I. Joe's. Remember the pulling the plug video?
Thank you for saying it, because I hate to be the one to keep bringing up this bullshit.
He gets on live on a big G.I. Joe group, huge G.I. Joe group, and does this pulling the plug video.
Okay.
And then he buys this.
But on that, what did I said I was pulling the plug, but I obviously showed that I was not, I'm not selling my figures. I still have all my G.I. Joes, not my vintage. Vintage are gone. And the majority of my vintage vehicles.
Where are all of? Are they all just in packages
They're
and boxes?
Packages and boxes. You just don't see them. You don't see them. I do have a plan, though. I'm going to display some of these. That's my gift to you. I am going to display some
thank
of these.
You.
Yep. I am going to display some of
them. I like that. I like how the cobra is on the mask.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's neat.
So I got some G.I. Joes.
You did.
Yep. And I really enjoyed these modern figures. I thought they were a lot of fun. And I know, like, the nostalgia aspect isn't the same, except for there it's still your Duke, it's still your Baroness, it's just updated modern looking figures, which I really enjoy those, and I feel like these are so much easier to pose because they are, let's be honest, they're 10 times better than the vintage. Okay,
well, you mean they have a lot more articulation points. Yes that's what you mean, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But so, not that they're 10 times better than the vintage.
Oh, 10 times better. Suck on that, Eric Brink. Suck on it.
No, he's wrong. Okay. He's wrong.
Eric said, why collect if you can't display?
Eric Brink said that?
He said, you lie.
Hey, why really enjoy going to Comic-Cons when you never show up?
Eric, why collect if you don't display? Because I'm sick. I have a problem, and something is wrong with me. Like a chemical imbalance, maybe? I don't know. I think what happens is I like to flip. I like to... and by flip, I don't mean sell stuff. I like that part too. But I like to, so I'm going to be displaying 6-inch for the next 3 years. And at some point, something might happen that brings me back. And it could be the resurgence of G.I. Joe. If we get a good movie down the road, that brings me back to like, oh yeah, I'm going to display on my 4-inch. But I will say, I am getting these things that is going to help me display my 4-inch. That Kickstarter that I get on the articulated, I'm sorry, what were they called? Oh my gosh, this is awful.
Articulated icons?
No, not articulated.
No, those are
icons.
6-inch.
Yep. This is they were the boxes.
The display boxes.
Yeah, boxes. And oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking. But my shipment is going to be coming soon. And you can mount those to a wall and you can put your 4-inch figures all standard. And it's in essence, it's just a box like this, you know.
It's like a tackle box, but on the wall.
Yeah. And then you can then just put your, and you can put your guys there holding guns and stuff. I'm going to find a spot to display those. And then all of these are going to be back out. They'll be back out, and they'll be on a wall somewhere in my house. My wife doesn't know that, and she doesn't. I don't know if she understands.
Your secret's safe with me.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, all right, just guys. Don't tell anybody.
Yep. Right. So that's what I got. Super excited about it. Hit my genres of things that I really love.
All right. I got a almost vintage G.I. Joe Cobra Commander. from my buddy Travis. So,
almost vintage. I like that.
I've got a, well, that's what he said. It was almost
I know,
vintage.
But I
so.
Like it.
So this Bruce Lee figure that you guys have gotten, the SH Fig Arts, I've been poking fun at that. And when it comes to toy collecting and bad mistakes, I've made a few. This is not one of them.
Oh, yes.
This is the SH Fig Arts Freddie Mercury.
That is freaking cool.
This is so much cooler than your Bruce Lee. It's not even funny. Microphone stand, the whole shooting match.
Dude, I love it.
We have got to crack this open right now, live, all right? And I don't even care about the box. It's never going back in there. It's Freddie friggin' Mercury.
Our friend Paul Bertera, I think, has this figure. Maybe that's why Michael Jackson, Bruce Lee, and he has them like on these shelves together, and he says this is one of the coolest figures that they've ever made.
All right.
Just get rid of this shit.
Okay. So first off, people are like, oh, yeah, I'm a pretty big Queen fan. If you're not a Queen fan, turn off the Facebook Live because you're not American.
Yeah, because they're like the best American band ever.
Right, straight out of America. Try not to fling hands all over the place.
Don't use this.
And he flings the hands
knife
all
the
over the place.
All over the place. So,
here we go.
Oh, gosh.
He's pulling him out. He's got his... For those of you that are listening and can't see, he's got his white pants on.
The V-neck. He's got his killer yellow jacket. Three different heads. Just the regular Freddie Mercury, the look, right? He's got a kind of a open mouth, like a singing head.
That's not a singing head.
This is like more of a yelling head. That could be a fellatio head.
That
could be a giving head.
That right there.
Yeah,
is
that's not funny.
I can't believe SH Figures went there.
Yeah. So
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. So, multiple hands and like some of the hands like this, you know, like I just love it. And a microphone stand. I gotta get this out of here.
You know what you did wrong with this, Pete? You should have had your phone queued up to a Freddie Mercury
song
and had it slowly playing in the background as you played with your figure.
So microphone stand, okay? And Freddie Mercury, if you guys was famous, didn't always have the bass on it because he kind of carried it around and he leaned and he did his thing. And then another handheld microphone. If you look, this face here, like, ooh, you know what I'm talking about? And then this face here, you know.
Ow. No.
That was painful.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah.
Well, that looks like he got kicked in the balls.
Yeah, kicked in my eyes. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I am incredibly excited about this. And I just thought, I saw this and I was like, I have to have this. And I can't wait to actually get him posed and doing his thing.
I will say this head makes him look somewhat like a mongoloid.
There's a little, yeah.
Yeah, yep. But those heads I like.
Right. And I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. This is the head that he's going to be displayed with.
Oh, yeah.
How do you not pick that head?
He's got
to
have.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just belting it out.
Yeah,
just
anal.
Belting it out.
Anal. Yes.
He screwed up on his mustache.
Like I said, I think that head's the least desirable. These other two heads are much better.
Tom Moore said, order me one, Pete. Take my money.
You got it.
Can you get this from Diamond?
Yeah.
I want one.
Yeah. So,
totally want one.
Yeah, $89.99. You got it. So we'll get it done. So, so I was super excited about that. Like I said, I had to have it. I mean, it's Freddie Mercury. So,
it's beautiful.
Michael Jackson, I would never have that ever. It's disturbing that people have it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would.
You guys have to remember, your Michael Jackson was the king of pop. My Michael Jackson is a creep. You know what I mean? Yeah. Generationally, like I grew up as Michael Jackson being a creep.
I knew him both ways.
Yeah, but my Michael Jackson was bad.
Who's bad? So, picked up a couple of Legends of Tomorrow's figures. DC. I bitch about DC, and you guys know that. I bitch about everything that's on the store shelves, and you guys know that. I love what they're doing on television. Their shows are incredibly well written. The actors are great. I have not actually watched Legends of Tomorrow yet, but this character in particular has been on The Flash, and this is the Firestorm from the show. He's a football player, blows his knee out, and becomes the new Firestorm. I absolutely love this character. This figure is, I think it's beautiful. The paint apps in the uniform and stuff, I think they just did a great job. I love it. I think they did a great job with it. I'm really looking forward to getting that out of the package. These ones are to sell. I've got some coming for me personally. Don't tell the shop manager. And the Hawk Girl, again, I think the detail's great. Some of the accessories, the wings look absolutely beautiful. The mace, again, I'm super impressed by what they're doing with these figures, man. And again, you can't buy these just at regular stores. You're not going to find them at Meijer or Walmart. This is going to be specialty shops, diamond distributors that have them.
If you want a good DC figure, you're not going to get it at Walmart.
No, you're not, and that's the sad part. So the last thing that I got from Mike Brandis, MB Custom Toys, at MesquiteCon yesterday, another gem of my collection, is my custom Funko Old Man Logan.
Might be the gem.
I look at it. What do I need to say to you about this? This is absolutely incredible. The claws, I mean, the detail in the claws, just the shape, I mean, just, it's beautiful.
I'll tell you what you need to say about that is that he starts with a blank pop.
Yes.
It has no hair, skull features, no sideburns, completely no chops, round head, no claws, everything. Nothing. And all that is sculpted and painted and made by MB Custom, by Mike Brandis, MB Custom Toys.
Yes, yep.
At Instagram.
Yep, you can check him out on Instagram. Huge Instagram presence. So he just does, you know, it's one thing for somebody to be a super nice guy and then one thing to be super talented. He's a super talented guy that's super nice. One of the nicest guys I've met in this world. And he just... I mean, like I said, I'm just, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's a beautiful.
So, I mean, the hard part is I say I settled on that one because it was, there was five that I had to have, and I got to have Old Man Logan. That was what was in my mind. And I could have gone back there. I could have made 8 trips yesterday and just kept buying more. You know, they're just that good, man. So I'm super excited. Thanks again, Mike. It's just gorgeous. So
any comments you need to address, Zach?
Not really. Courtney wants to know the Michael Jackson white or black version. Ryan said DC what?
Yeah.
So but
all right. So on to me.
Yes.
Okay. So from Anti Hero Comics, I got these cute dorbs. Aren't they awesome? They're Masters of the Universe. I don't know what dorbs means, but I always come
don't
to
lie.
Head. I'm like, I think it means totes of dorbs.
Okay.
I think that's what it means.
Did you know those are made by Funko?
Yeah.
I did not know that. So
I didn't know these existed till like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was wandering through a Meijer and I found 3 of these things. And I think it was regular He-Man, Merman, and Man-at-Arms. And then I told Pete to get me there's an exclusive He-Man riding Battle Cat. It's a Battle Armor He-Man, I believe. It's riding a Battle Cat, and the Battle Cat is awesome. So I told Pete to order me that, and he got me these, which I didn't tell him to order me. But I don't have either of these, and so now I've got my Skeletor and my Prince Adam, which I see Prince Adam says it's He-Man. A limited chase figure.
Ooh.
So... I don't know what I'm going to do with these
he
things.
He'd be chasing. He'd be chasing a lot of penis.
Yeah. Chasing the cock.
Come on. I like what they do. No, with
it's Skeletor.
Simple...
He's chasing the bone.
They're so simple, and the head is so simple. I don't know. I'm a sucker for He-Man.
Do you know what that the Prince Adam looks like? Looks like one of those, like, it's a Chinese version of the Russian Stack'em dolls that, like, fit inside each other. Mm. Like, and it looks Chinese.
You know what he looks like? He looks like that German kid.
Oh, me, thank you.
That is does that. He sings that song by Four Non Blondes. There's a like it's a thing.
Did you, I don't know, you know what you're talking about.
I know what song you're talking about.
Yeah, but there's a German kid who plays. He's like he's almost dressed just like Prince Adam and He-Man in the video.
The one that I show that I shared and caught hell for,
because
God forbid somebody shared something twice on the internet.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And my good friend Chris Middlecamp has been on the lookout for a couple of this wave of Marvel Legends, and he was able to score me a Colossus. I'm still on the search for Cyclops and Old Man Logan, but I mean, we talked about this figure before. There's no reason to go in depth with it. But I love it. I think it's cool. Always
want. I
do not have a Colossus in my collection, so I will make room on my shelf for this guy.
Do you wish he had his classic costume?
Yes.
That's one of the complaints like about it. this figure. Yeah.
Yep. Totally do wish that he had that. Now we get into SkiCon things. Picked up two vintage G.I. Joes, you know, the good kind. Got six, you know, bucks. How do you beat a Viper?
God. He's probably an $18 figure, ain't he?
Would you say that Steven likes his G.I. Joes like he likes his women? Old and with bad joints?
If they had stockings on, he would be all over them.
I like that.
Is that one going to stand with his floppy leg?
Now, he's got a floppy leg, but it's a $6 Viper. Did Viper have a backpack?
I think so.
This is funny. In all my years of collecting G.I. Joes, when I was a child and everything, this is the first Viper I've ever had in my collection.
Oh, it's one of the best figures ever.
I always resisted the Viper because I like
the Cobra Troopers.
Why do we need those? We got troopers.
Because the Vipers are the friggin' badasses.
I don't know.
They're the Marines, man.
They just got fancier crap.
No. Blue shirts are a bunch of pussies. The Vipers, they're the tough ones.
I picked up a Tiger Force Recondo, too. Just because I like Tiger Force. He doesn't have his gun. He's going to look fine sitting in a vehicle, arm and a gun.
He's looking like my kid sitting on a bench.
For $6. That's a great army builder. So.
And shield on his faceplate looks pretty good.
It's pretty, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a little scratch, but, dude, that's still pretty good. I mean, we're talking about a figure that's, what, 86? What was he?
I believe that's about right.
Yep. I mean, so you're talking about a 30-year-old figure.
Yeah. Pretty pumped up about the price.
Can I see Recondo?
Yeah, sure.
Did he come with a backpack?
Yes, that's his backpack, but he's missing his gun, which is just a black version of
his original.
Comes with a Tiger Fly, so the Tiger Force version of the greatest helicopter in G.I. Joe history, the Dragonfly. I've already got that figure, but you just don't see him a lot. So I thought, $6, I'm grabbing him.
$6, I'm doing it. I'm pulling the trigger.
But now here's the gem.
He's in good shape.
He is. I like him. I like him a lot.
Looks like the kid never played with him.
I got those from, do you know the name right off the hand of the horror makeup guy?
Jason Vanderhoven.
Here we go. That's where I got that.
You should have offered him you should have bought his whole table of G.I. Joes. You should have offered him, made him an offer.
Well,
He had a pretty big collection, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got more stuff, and I'm like, I could like to see it. So
That was the first booth that's the first time they've ever set up. PD and J Collectibles, the three guys, and then Jason, one of those guys, is the one that had built that large Jason, and then did the horror makeup stuff, which was kind of neat. So,
all right, now this is what I'm most excited about. You know, Pete just talked about his Old Man Logan by MB Collect MB Custom Toys. Had him make me a Fisto not too long ago from He-Man, my favorite He-Man character. And after that one was done, I promptly commissioned him to do the archenemy, in my opinion, of Fisto, a Jitsu. And this is, took him about a month or so to get this to me. Delivered it yesterday at MuskeeCon. So this is his Fisto, and once again, this is a blank pop. It had no hair.
That's his Jitsu, right?
Jitsu, sorry. And, it had no knot on the back of his head. It had no sword. I gave him all kinds of reference, and I did give him the classics version of Fisto for reference, so he put the knives on
you
the back.
You mean Jitsu?
Yeah, Jitsu, damn. Anyways, Jitsu here. Look at the glove. Totally sculpted, fabricated, made.
So, Fisto has a huge fist.
Yeah.
So why isn't he bitch slap-o? Look at that big old bitch slap hand he's got.
He's Jitsu.
The pimp hand. You know what I mean?
It's Jitsu.
It's karate chopping. It's not.
He is an oriental looking guy on attorney who happens to know martial arts. Right.
It's not for keeping the pimp hand strong. It's for like chopping wood.
And is evil. And has a karate chopping hand. That's made of gold instead of silver. Right. Like Fisto's. Right.
And it also has the infinity stones in it. So
I love it.
It's again, what do you say about it? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Killed it.
Man.
Killed it.
He's the man, so the man. Told you again, MB Custom Toys on Instagram. He will make you whatever you want if you get a hold of him. And I love it. So next up is Roboto. I think I'm going to have him do me a Roboto because I would love to see what he does with a Roboto.
That would be sweet.
What would be, and I don't know a lot about the characters, but could you imagine him doing one of those? It was an Extendar with the big long neck and the Funko Pop head on top of it.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool if you like that lame ass character.
Oh, really?
I love Extendar.
There's only one lame ass character in He-Man.
There's none.
The one's got a suction cup face, for God's sake.
Zach, anything we got to comment on as we move on?
How many people watching? Four?
Eight right now.
Wow.
Oh,
nice. Thanks for joining us.
So
thanks, everybody. We will see you later.
And, of course, if you continue to watch our show, we will rock you.
That was ridiculous.
That was
how he stopped like he's actually like on a movie set.
Yeah. He froze
waiting
it.
For the director to yell cut.
You got to freeze it.
So moving on to what are we reading. I really didn't have a ton of time to read last week. It was a busy week for me, but I read Guardians of the Galaxy by Bendis and Shitty. And but
yeah, it's gotta be.
I mean,
right?
How would you say that?
It's gotta be Shitty.
Shitty.
I guarantee you, it's Skitty.
Okay, that last name is Shitty. That's all I got to say.
It is. It's so shitty. Here, I thought he was just being an asshole. No, it says Shitty.
Yeah, it is Shitty.
Shitty. That's Shitty, folks.
Yes. I really enjoy Bendis. He's a real good writer. The art on this is pretty. It's a very enjoyable thing. Thing joins the Guardians of the Galaxy. But I will tell you, I really did not feel like there was a lot of substance in this book. Okay.
There wasn't any substance?
No.
Your English is shitty.
So I'm kind of like, you know what? I don't know if I need to keep reading this. You know, they've kind of done a bunch of stuff where they're throwing – this is Kitty Pryde from the X-Men. You got the Thing. You've got Agent Venom all in the Guardians of the Galaxy right now. And I just don't – something about the vibe of it, it isn't doing it for me.
Why does the Thing need an outfit?
Well, I mean, I think he just wants to wear clothes.
He just wants pockets?
Yeah, probably. So. You got to have some place to put your wallet.
I get that.
And condoms. Now the art is pretty, like I said, it's somewhat enjoyable. They bring back a few characters, but I just don't really like, if you like Guardians of the Galaxy, hey, go out and read this book. But I wouldn't say to anyone that's, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, you got to read this. I'm just not going to, we'll see what happens. But that's all I read.
I actually read more. Now, the more I think about it, I actually read quite a bit. I just didn't read anything till the end. Books at the station, books at the house, and then books in my bag. So wherever I was reading something, but I didn't read a ton of any one thing. So probably have quite a bit to talk about next week, but not much right now.
I read, I got caught up on more Vader. I am caught up to the Vader Down story arc, and I'm very excited because I've heard nothing but good things about it. So And actually, you have that in trade, don't you?
Yeah, I just got it last week or a week or two from Pete.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I haven't started it yet, but.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope, I got volume one.
So we're like in the same spot right now.
Yeah, we're in the same spot, yep.
Nice.
You love it?
I love it.
Ah, it's so good.
I mean, we've said that on this podcast before, both of us, but it's still, it hasn't gotten any worse.
If you haven't read Marvel's Vader storyline, you definitely have to read it. And I don't care if you're not a big Vader fan. If you're a Star Wars fan, you have to read it. It's very enjoyable.
Great tie-ins. Yep. Also, I got too excited, and I read the first issue of... We all read Jupiter's Legacy here. We finished that first trade. Well, I read the next issue. And it continues to be great. So, not going to go into... You know, it's just one issue. Not going to go into too much depth here or anything at all. I'm just going to say, if you haven't read that first trade, get on it. And I can't wait for you guys to get that, so that we can all talk about it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So.
I'm always excited when Steven sends money to corporate America instead of local. So.
I just can't wait.
I'm just glad you enjoyed it. So. You know, they make those in paper, too.
Right.
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 So.
Just like all the Captain Americas you've been getting me. Yeah.
You said you were reading them on your iPad. I didn't think you wanted
only
them anymore.
Only when you didn't get them for me.
Oh, that's how it's going to be now, huh?
It's true.
All right.
Pete don't like the truth.
The truth is out there.
So.
What'd you read, Zach? Yeah. Zach can't read.
I'm still working on it. I'm all the way through the alphabet, though. Every sound.
Been reading the alphabet.
Nice.
Getting a little hung up on the longs and the shorts, but he's getting there. So.
What else we got to talk about, guys? We've gotten through all our usual stuff. We talked about MesquiteCon.
Coming up this weekend, we're going to be down at the Grand Rapids Toy Show, March 25th. Officially the Grand Rapids Collectible Toy and Comic Show, Saturday, March 25th, from 9 to 3 at the Homeschool Building. That's on Burlingame in Grand Rapids. We're there, what, probably three times a year for shows? Twice a year for shows? It's a good time, again, March 25th, 9 to 3, and then they have the holiday show in December. So come on out if you guys are in the area. There's always some fun stuff to be had there. They got an auction going on there now. Food's always really good, you know, me and my food. So got to say thank you again to everybody with MesquiteCon, top to bottom, front to back, side to side.
That's it.
So,
we're heading out, right?
Yeah, man, we're getting out of here. Wrapping up episode 65 of the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast. Great things to talk about. Obviously, the greatest thing, was my ability to plan a con. I mean, that was pretty much, 45 minutes of conversation. Could have been an hour because realistically, I'm great. But, like I said, I can't thank everybody enough for that. Make sure you check out our website, www.toydomesticviolence.com. If you checked it out 4 months ago, it's going to be the same because we're lame and we haven't really updated it. But we're going to get better with that. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter at wifeiskillingme. We've got an email, wifeiskillingme@gmail.com. Send us your tidbits of useless information so we can read yours as much as you listen to ours. For intern Zach, or Jarvis as I call him, Stephen Bisciotti, the host, my fellow co-host Travis Bowles, I am Pete McCarthy, and thank you for everything to each and every one of you. We love that you allow us to come into your ears on a weekly basis. And until next time, we'll see you guys in the toy aisle. Man.